The Holy Ghost is a necessity. He's not something that we should look over or try to preach out of the church or try to say that, oh no, we don't want the Holy Ghost to have his way because he might cause an offense in the church. But we need to let the Holy Ghost have his way. And I think one of the jobs as a pastor, as your pastor, is to get out of the Holy Ghost's way. There are times where I think I've done good with that, and sometimes I think I haven't done so good with that. And there have been times where I've prayed and said, Lord, help me, Lord, to get out of your way so you can do what you want to do and accomplish what you want to accomplish. And help me, Lord, to follow the leading of your Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a necessity in this place. We desire him to move. We desire that we not just come to church and go through the religious routine, but that we experience a great move of the Holy Spirit in the place. I want God to shake this house. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, the Bible said. The Holy Ghost has a way of shaking things, doesn't he? And man, we need him to do a shaking in our day. We need him to shake the sinner out of the pew and into the altar. We need him to shake the cold saint back into the fire again. We need him to shake the person who hasn't had a touch from the Holy Ghost in a long time right out of the pew into a fiery altar where they feel the rush of the Holy Spirit again. We need the Holy Ghost to shake the pulpits of America again, where the preaching of the word is no longer watered down to a place that's palatable for the sinner to sit in the pew and not even be touched by what God is doing. We need the Spirit of God to shake the place, to shake the city of Kingman again, where the city councilmen are moved by the Spirit of God and what matters for God in this place. We need God to shake America again, to send a revival like Azusa Street, to see people change, radically transform. We need such a shaking that when people walk by the churches of America, they feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit drawing them into the house of God once again. I was in prayer just the other day and just enjoying my time with God and loving every moment of it. And I was praying and in a moment when the Holy Spirit comes by, you know that moment when the Holy Spirit comes? You know, you're praying, but you don't know if God's there or if he's hearing sometimes or if he's answering your prayer. But you know when the Spirit comes. When the Spirit comes to that moment in your prayer time with God, oh, you know he's hearing you. And not only do you know he's hearing you, he's coming by to let you know he's hearing you. And boy, there is nothing more rewarding than being alone with God and feeling his Spirit move upon you. Amen? Feeling him move in your heart, move in your life. The Bible said that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We need the Spirit of God to move upon this church, to shake us again and move us into that realm that he wants us to live in and to walk in. And that move, when the Holy Spirit came down in that prayer time with me, I stopped for a moment and I said, oh Lord, how I need you to stop by. And that's when the Holy Spirit dropped this into my heart. We need the Holy Ghost to stop by. Doesn't he make the difference? Doesn't he take what is just average and ordinary and make it supernatural? Doesn't the Bible say that it's not by might? It's not by your physical might. It's not because you have muscles. It's not because that you have wisdom of this world that you can articulate or figure it out. Listen, we are filled with the churches are filled with eloquent people. But we don't need eloquence anymore. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost again. We don't need the wisdom of man and the intellectuals to tell us how to have church. We need the Holy Ghost to tell us how to have church. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to come down and direct us and guide us and fill us and equip us and shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. It's not by might of man's wisdom or man's muscle. It's not by power. Military might cannot accomplish what the Spirit of God can accomplish. Power cannot accomplish it. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord, God said. By my Spirit, we accomplish the great things that God has put before us. Are we so foolish that what we have begun in the Spirit, we can accomplish that in the flesh? Paul said. He said it to the Galatian church when Galatian church thought that they could now earn their way into salvation. We cannot accomplish what God has put in front of us without the Spirit of God guiding us and supernaturally working on our behalf. We need God to pull down the walls of Jericho. We need God to part the Red Seas of our lives. We need God to stop the mouths of lions that come to devour us. We need God to make the fire not burn us when we're in the furnace. We need God to do that. And the only way we're going to see God do that in our day is allowing the Holy Ghost to have his way in the church once again. The biggest problem I see today when it relates to the Holy Spirit is that people don't want to die to themselves to have him. Because the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, is a gift given to those willing to give their life in service for the Master. If you're not willing to work for the Lord, doubtful you'll ever receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God filled me with the Holy Ghost when I realized that one fact, that it wasn't so that I could speak in tongues or work in the gifts of ministry of the or have a gift of ministry in the gifts of the Spirit, but that it was for the work of the ministry in itself. And the gift of the Holy Ghost is not going to be given to people who don't even desire it. If you're worried that the Holy Ghost that touches me is going to trickle onto you, don't worry, it isn't. If you're worried and you see someone dancing in the church or hooping and hollering and shouting, giving glory to God, and you go, oh, that's a little too crazy, but don't worry, it ain't going to fall on you. Amen? Don't you stress out about that. Don't let that bother you. You just watch them get what God has for them, because one day you're going to say, what is it they got? Because I want it. Amen? I want it. I want the, let me tell you something. I watched grandma dance her bobby pins out, watch my mama dance her bobby pins out. I watched them shout the aisles, run the aisles. I watched them snot on the altars, hoop and holler and dance all around because the Holy Spirit moved in the church. And I'm telling you, sinners in the pew cannot handle the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost when he comes into the house and shakes the place. But there has to come a dying to what we want. We have to die to our will. Die to our own way so the Spirit of God can move once again. The church suffers without the moving of God's Spirit. We suffer if God doesn't move. We suffer if the Spirit doesn't have his free will. If he doesn't move in a mighty way. Healings don't take place unless the Spirit of God has his free will. Tongues and interpretation don't happen in the church if the Spirit doesn't have his free will. If we hinder him, hindering him, and you know what, it's amazing today, churches are afraid of the moving of God's Spirit. I don't get that. It's the Spirit of God that drew you to Christ. It's God's Spirit that made you want to come to the Lord. And when the Lord moved upon you and drew you into the house of God, and you now all of a sudden we're afraid of him? Now all of a sudden we think he's going to be offensive and scare people? When's the last time the Holy Ghost was offensive to you? He's never offended you. He's only been gentle, kind, and a gentleman to your life. He's always come in love. He's always come in ready to mend the wounds or pick you up or lift you up. He's always come to be a blessing. He's never been offensive. He's never tried to hurt you. He's always tried to lift you up. But now churches are so afraid of the moving of the Spirit because the world doesn't like conviction. And that's the truth of it. Sinners don't like what the Holy Ghost brings into the church. They don't like to feel guilty of sin. But I hate to break the news to you, until you feel guilty of it, you'll hardly ever repent of it. Amen? And it's by the guilt of sin that men say, God, forgive me. And in that, God forgives humanity. When the guilt comes, I thank God for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't know that I needed to change if I didn't feel like something was wrong. When they told me not to touch the pot, it was hot. They didn't tell me that because they didn't love me. They told me that because they did love me and they didn't want me burnt. And there were some times I touched some hot things. And then I remembered they told me not to touch that. They told me not, and I touched it even as an adult. How many touched a hot pot, been an adult? Amen. Didn't mean to, you just did. And some come back to your mind. Mama told me not to do that. Right? The Holy Spirit is the corrector of our lives. The Bible said he guides us into all truth. And the church is suffering without the moving of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been regulated to private rooms in our society today. Oh, you can speak in tongues, just not in the church. You go out in that private room back there so you're not an offense to anyone else. Heavens, Lord, heaven, Lord, oh, Lord. I don't even know what to say about that. I don't even know what to say about a people who are afraid of the moving of God's Spirit when it's His Spirit that's been moving on this earth from the time it was created. The Bible said that when they prayed, the place was shaken. And I want to point out that simple fact that the power of the church is found in prayer. You're not going to be powerful if you don't pray. You're not going to find joy in the Holy Ghost unless you pray. You're not going to find the peace that passes understanding if you don't pray. And praying isn't talking to me. Don't get me wrong, I'll meet with you and I'll counsel with you and I'll encourage you and I'll give you some wisdom from the Word of God, but I can tell you that sometimes what I need to tell people is, listen, your number one problem was probably the fact that you haven't been on your knees in probably a month or so, and if you've been on your knees, this meeting might not even have been necessary because you prayed and God showed up and said, listen, I got this covered in your life, everything is all right, because when they prayed, the place was shaken. And what some people need is a shaking of the Holy Spirit again to revive them, to bring them back. I don't want to go to church without the Spirit. I don't want that. I want the Holy Spirit to move freely. And I'm not afraid of tongues. I'm excited about tongues, amen. I'm not afraid of the gift of interpretation. I'm excited about interpretation. I'm not offended at prophets in the church. Oh, I love the prophets in the church. I love to hear someone stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. I love that. That's powerful. I'm not afraid of healing. I love it when God heals. I can give you testimonies tonight of the power of God that has healed my body. Some of my favorite gifts of the Spirit of God is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. I love those gifts. Love those gifts, because the word of wisdom will come to you in just a flash, really fast. You won't even realize it's coming. It comes like lightning into your mind, and you know this, it didn't come from you. Amen. Sometimes I say so much on accident. Didn't even know I said it. Go home and they'll say, did you know you said this? I go, no, I didn't know I said that. You did. You said this. I've had so many people come up to me and say, were you following me around all week? No. That's words of knowledge, words of wisdom from the Spirit of God. I absolutely love those gifts. Love it. What about the gift of faith, supernatural faith, faith that takes 300 men and marches it down over against 135,000 man army? What about the supernatural faith that says, Nebuchadnezzar, you could throw us in a fiery furnace, but we're not going to bend or bow our knee to this false idol. We're going to go in the furnace. We're going to trust God, whether he delivers us from in the furnace or from the furnace. Know this, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going about that supernatural faith. Amen. That supernatural faith. I'm not afraid of those things. Matter of fact, in prayer, I'm asking God to enhance those things. I'm asking God to raise up more prophets. I'm asking God to fill young people with the Holy Ghost. I'm asking God to give the gift of the Holy Ghost to more people, because today the Holy Ghost will radically transform everything. Let me tell you this, we won't shake anything without prayer. You won't even shake your kids out of sin without prayer. You won't even shake your family without prayer. If you won't pray for them, doubtful you'll see God move. And let me say this, and I don't mean to be mean or rude. If you're not willing to pray for your own kids, it's doubtful you care that much. I said it's doubtful you care. Or you've just been so desensitized by the world that you don't see the reason to care. How important is this moving of God's Spirit today? It's the most crucial thing for the church. It's what will change the front row and their lives forever. It's what will change your kids forever. It's the moving of the Spirit that radically transforms the church as we know it. I think we have a pretty good church. I think we have a place where the Spirit is allowed to move. I really believe that, but I also believe that we haven't even touched what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And the only way we're going to be able to grab a hold of everything God has is in prayer. In prayer. The Bible said that they gave themselves to fasting and prayer. And through prayer, God accomplished great things. In prayer, it was when they prayed the place was shaken. It wasn't the place was shaken and then they prayed. They prayed and a shaking happened. You want to know something? My grandma prayed me right into this pulpit. She did. That was back when I was a kid, though. She prayed for me to get saved when I was just a little guy. Preached to me when I was a child. My mother prayed for me. We sing a song, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They got down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out. How's it go? I forget, but that's the song. Amen. God moves by prayer. John Wesley said this, God does nothing except an answer to prayer. And when you pray, God hears and God moves. Notice this, that in the text, the Bible said that when they had prayed, the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These are people who already had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen for a refilling, amen. Somebody say, I believe in refilling, amen. I believe that God has a little bit more for me. How many have ever poured out a little bit of you out of your cup and you needed God to pour back into your cup and make it run over again? How many have ever felt very dry in your service, in your work, and then the Holy Ghost stopped by and he gave you another rush, another blessing, another encouragement, and you got in the river once again and the fire came once again? Oh, I believe in refilling. Oh, matter of fact, I look forward to my refillings. I move from one filling to another refilling, amen? I call it glory to glory, amen? I look forward to more and more and more and more because the Spirit of God didn't give me all of him when he filled me. He gave me a little bit and said, listen, when you need some more, come on back. I've got some more for you. The Spirit of God came back and filled them all again. Filled them all again. And I love how the Holy Spirit doesn't miss one. The Bible said that the gift of the Holy Ghost is for your children and your children's children and all them that are afar off. I'm one of them that's afar off. How many of you woke up in Jerusalem this morning? Not one of us. We're afar off, folks. We're afar off. The gift of the Holy Spirit was not ended after the apostles. It didn't end after the apostles. It should never have ended at all. Matter of fact, you can trace Pentecost all the way back to the apostles through people and even through history. Now, they don't like to talk about it, and they tried to kill many of the Pentecostals as later age, as history went on. But Pentecost never died as it relates to the moving of the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit in operation. God always had a remnant of people moving in the Spirit of God. The Bible said that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, all of them filled with the Holy Ghost, not one missed again, and boldness accompanies the filling of the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost gets in you, you can't help but be stubborn. You can't help but say it like it is. Now, that don't mean you have to be rude and obnoxious. The Holy Ghost isn't rude or obnoxious. Don't get me wrong. But that definitely means that you have a boldness to say it right and straight. To say it true. And the Holy Spirit doesn't tolerate lies. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit hears a lie and gets furious because it's a lie. I remember when I first met Brother Doyle, I was a young minister, and Brother Schultz was gracious enough to put up with me and have me come preach. Back then, I was horrible, brother. I don't know why you let me preach. But Brother Schultz, you were just a good man. That's all it was. And I remember Brother Doyle was still teaching Bible class at that time, and my grandma was in the class. And if you knew my grandmother did not put up with anything that wasn't just right. And Brother Doyle knew this about my grandmother, and he loved to torture my grandma. And so he would say something purposefully that wasn't true. And my grandmother, I mean, she didn't miss a beat, man. I mean, she's like, Doyle, that's not right, Doyle. Remember that, Brother Doyle? I mean, she'd jump you, and you'd do it on purpose just to make the class realize it wasn't right. Yeah, you. Because the Holy Spirit inside of us hears something that isn't right or true and says, no, that's not right. And when the Holy Spirit has been pushed out and people who are filled with the Spirit are sitting in the church house wondering where the Spirit is, and they see all the show we have today, and they see the theatrics that's behind the pulpit, and they see that the church has become an entertainment center. People that are really filled with the Holy Spirit are deeply grieved by this. And as a pastor that wants more of the Holy Spirit, I find a very, very hard place to be in this world that I've got to navigate through the junk and keep the church out of the junk so the Spirit can move. And they label me now, you know. Oh, he's an old fuddy-duddy. He's old time. I wouldn't be allowed to preach in some of our Pentecostal Church of God churches because they'd be afraid I'd say something make people mad. Do you know that? Isn't that sad? They'd be afraid to have me come preach because they think I might get up and upset the apple cart. And the Holy Ghost just might do that. Amen. He might just say something to make somebody mad, get them on fire, prod them, convict them, pull them out, deliver them. I'm telling you what, if you let the Holy Ghost have his way, people in the house, they get delivered, they get saved, they get changed. God moves. And I don't want to become one of those preachers that loses the boldness to say the truth. To make people comfortable in the pew. Because the Holy Spirit is offended at that. The Bible tells me, the Word of God tells me, grieve not the Spirit of God. Don't grieve His Spirit. It's a dangerous place to be, to quench the Spirit of God. I read there in Acts where Paul was walking in. Somebody kept following him along. This woman was following him along saying, these are they that come from the Most High God. And she had done this for days. And the Bible said Paul just had it. And he turned around in the Bible. And I love what the Bible said. Paul fastened his eyes on him. Holy boldness. And he said, you demon spirit, come out of her. It caused such an uproar, they got thrown into prison for that. They got thrown in the Philippian jail cell, and that's when they sang praises to God. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. It all started because there was a devil troublemaker, and the Holy Ghost gave boldness to the man of God. I want that kind of boldness that makes devils come out. I want that kind of boldness that makes sinners run to the altar. I want that kind of boldness that sees healings and miracles happen once again. Notice this. I need to be quick here. I need to be finished. The Holy Ghost produced unity and selflessness. Oh, how we need that once again in the body of believers. A unity and a selflessness. I want to read that again. Go back to that verse again. It says the last one. I think it is. Yes. And the multitude that believed, look at this, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Do you really own your cars? Or are you just a steward of them? I remember a guy in our church got a new car and Brother Deathbridge said, oh, praise the Lord, God gave you a new car to pick up kids to bring to church. And he goes, oh, no, he didn't. These are leather seats. This is a nice car. I don't pick up kids in this car. Pastor looked at him and said, I hope that car breaks down. Now, that's boldness. Amen. I never said that to your face ever, I promise. But my pastor said that because what he possessed was his own. It wasn't God's. Your home, does it really belong to you? Or does it belong to God? I'll never forget this. I was picking up kids for church, and I had no money to pick them up. And I knew it was going to cost me about $50 in gas for the week. And I had ran out of gas on the Friday night youth night, and I needed gas to last me all through Saturday, and I had a lot of driving to do. I had a site I created at my own business, landscaping, and I needed my car to do that. And I told the Lord, I'm out of gas. I'm not going to be able to pick up kids tonight, and I'm not going to be able to do my job tomorrow. I need gas money. And I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you get behind the car and that car will run. I picked up every kid for church on E. Every kid. Took them home on E. Worried to death that it was going to break down, that I was going to run out of gas. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, I was the man of faith of the hour, I'm telling you. The next day, I went and did all of my jobs, and my car ran out of gas a house down from my buddy's house where there was a gas can with gas the next day. Isn't God good? Amen? Isn't God good? To this day, my buddy and I, we still talk about that miracle because that thing was on E. And only God could stretch the fumes and make them work, amen? Only God can keep that engine going. But you see, that car wasn't mine. When I started picking kids up for church when I was 17 years old, I started with two kids. By the time I was finished and going to Bible college, I was over 120. Picking kids up on the streets of California, bringing them to church in that beat-up car. I had a rag hanging out of the gas tank to keep the gas in the tank because I couldn't afford to go buy a gas cap for the car. How many ever had an old 70s Maverick? Seen those old Maverick? That's what that car was. It was an old Maverick. I had my license plate in the back windshield because it was so rusted on the back, it wouldn't screw to the bumper. And I didn't want to tie it together with coat hangers because at that time I didn't know that would work. I've been pulled over several times with kids piled in my car. It completely and totally illegal. One time I had, I think, total of 15 kids in that Maverick. We had laps on laps. Windows rolled down, perusing down the safest streets I could peruse down to bring these kids to church. And I'll never forget, I got to know every police officer on the route because I had been pulled over several times. And I'll never forget one time we were driving down the road and we were singing, he's the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. And I know he'll never, 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 never let me down. He's the joy that my soul has found. Hallelujah, hallelujah, well, I'm going to praise his name. We were singing this song, all the kids were singing. We're driving and this police officer is coming right beside me and I looked at the kids and I said, sing louder, sing louder. And so we started singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, we're going to praise your name, hallelujah. I mean, we were singing so loud, and the police, I could see him. He was counting every kid. He didn't pull me over. I was like, thank you, Jesus. One time I got pulled over, and the cop pulled me over, and he said this. He said, this whole car is a moving violation. He said, you got to get out and walk these kids to church. You can't have all these kids. And I told Chris, my buddy Chris, I said, you get out the car and I'll drive these ones. I'll come back, get you, and drive these ones and come back, get you. And Chris got out of the car and he was in his three-piece suit. And he's standing on the side of the street and all these beautiful children start pouring out like sardines in a stuffy can out of the car. And the cop looks at Chris and says, get back in the car, all of you. Every single one of you, get back in the car. He looked at me and said, just go to church. Get yourself to church. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit gave the favor. I said, the Holy Spirit gave the favor. He brought peace to those kids' lives. I remember praying for some of those kids. I even see visions of them today, singing and worshiping God, kids that I was bringing to church. I had these two little boys, Josh and Jacob, and I can't find them. I've tried to find them. I've even driven where I thought they lived and tried to find these kids. I love these kids. If there were kids I could ever have adopted, I would have adopted them immediately, but I was too young. They wouldn't let me have them. Love these babies. These were like my little brothers. And And I will never forget those kids. I was in Bible college praying for them, and God gave me a vision of them in white suits singing the most beautiful music to the Lord. And to this day, it makes my heart so excited because the Spirit of God makes the difference. I'm not connected with them in the flesh right now, but I am spiritually connected. And I'm praying the Holy Ghost does what He said He would do. One last story, and I promise I'm done. My little brother, I'll never forget, he played the trumpet because my pastor played the trumpet. He wasn't a very good trumpet player. He just wanted to play it because his pastor played the trumpet. And I remember in Bible college, I was praying for him. And literally in the same week, I had two visions of the Joshua and Jacob and of my little brother. And I was praying for my brother, and he was playing the bass. And I'd never seen a man play the bass like that. He made the bass sing, and every note the Holy Ghost moved on. It sent shivers down my spine every time he played a note. And I remember coming home from Bible college, he'd never even touched a bass. He didn't even want to play the bass. And I came home from Bible college one summer and he said, "Hey, Bruce, I think I want to play the bass. What do you think about that?" I said, "Yeah, play the bass, bro. Play the bass. Amen. Play the bass." He picked up that bass and he began to play that bass. And I'm telling you what, he's a phenomenal bass player. I mean, phenomenal. Then he left Jesus. He left the Lord. And I hope he hears this. And God gave him carpal tunnel, so he couldn't play. But you hear me, bro. You come back to the Lord, God will heal you. And He'll forgive you. Amen? The Holy Spirit will do what He said He'd do. I believe with all my heart that we need the Holy Ghost again. How we need the Holy Ghost again. I don't want to be Pentecostal in name. I want to be Pentecostal in my practice. I want the whole world to know that I believe that God, who did it yesterday, He can still do it today. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Let's stand again. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. And oh, how we need the Holy Ghost. God, we don't want to go through the motions. We need Your Spirit in this place. God, come down in power. Shake the house tonight. Shake the church again. Shake our hearts once again, Father. Let those, God, who are cold in their heart, rekindle a fire in them once again. God, let the sinners the people who have backslid and left You, God, let them run back to You, God. Oh, Lord, move once again. Lord, we need You to stop by. We need the Holy Ghost to stop by. We don't want to do it alone, God. We need You to do it. God, come by again. Would You rend the heavens and come down? Would You rend the heavens and come down? Fill us all again. Every single one of us, God, that has been filled, refill us tonight. Refill us tonight. Once again, God. Once again. Move in this house. Move in this house.